Hello, everybody. Where do I begin? So it's just me on my own in my office talking to you on the lapel mics that I have been fighting with all bloody day. So if you've seen my Twitter, you'll see what the problem was. We lost two tracks and we don't know what happened. The track when we were on the train going to London disappeared. It didn't record. And then we had a lovely 10-minute chat all about Lower Decks on the way from the train station all the way back home. And you know what? It was really good content. That's what really upsets me about this. It was content that we really kind of put our hearts into. And what you need to understand there is this was our first out and about session. We normally sit inside my office with our microphones and we feel safe. And the train journey back, as much as I enjoyed talking about Lower Decks, you can tell me and Rob were being a little bit reserved because there were so many people. We were sat on the floor. There were so many people on the train. So we kind of aren't giving it full energy. But when we were in the car, we then gave it full energy. So what's happened there is you'll hear the train bit and then Rob and I are going to record next week a little bit just to go on the end of this episode. So it's going to sound a bit different. Also, I think the lavalier mics have come across really well. The sound quality was really good, but for some reason, and I don't know why, microphone one and microphone two are about 1 millisecond different. So when it comes to lining up the audio, there's an ever so slight echo. So I think you'll notice it more on my voice than anything. I'm going to speak to Anchor and see if there's any way around it. If there isn't, I might move over to the DJI option. Anyway, enough of me whinging because I've stressed enough about editing this episode. Hope you enjoy it and play the theme tune.
Hello.
Hello. We're driving.
We're in the car.
Yeah. We aren't in the hot, sweaty balls office today. We're out and about.
In the hot, sweaty balls car. It's quite nice and cool in here.
Yeah, I know. I've had the aircon running. But yeah, we are doing an out and about episode today. So while we drive to the train station, I believe you've got a rant.
I do, yeah. It's about these bloody windows at the house.
Right, go on then. Right. So, what has happened with the windows and the doors?
So it's been going on for weeks, ages and ages. We've got these two doors and these four windows getting put in. I'm not going to name the company, but they said very originally it was going to be the 21st of September they were going to get put in. Now, this was told to us like 2 months ago, probably over 2 months ago than we ordered them. And we're like, that's a crazy long amount of time, but okay, whatever. And as the date got closer and closer and closer, we checked up on, like, I kept questioning, like, what, have they done it yet? Have they ordered them? You know, is it getting put in? Because no one's asked me for any money yet. And then they did ask me for money. And then I asked, and it's like, oh, no one actually put the blinking order in. So they never ordered them.
Well,
at least that's what we think, anyway, because they started giving us excuses about how long it's going to take. And I'm like, right, okay. So no one put the order in. And that was like 3 weeks after we told them to. And then they were meant to fit them, like, to collect them the other day, and then they couldn't do it, and then they were supposed to get another time they were supposed to get picked up, and when they got there the manufacturer was like, oh no, they didn't pass the quality control check, so we have to remake them.
Oh, and
I was
right,
just,
yeah,
like, this is all gas, really suspect. They wouldn't even give us the frames. So I think I've really ruined the story a little bit out of sync. But that was the, when they were saying that they weren't ready because of the manufacturing thing, that's when we're like, they didn't order them.
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't even send the frames, because they're saying the problem was with the glass, and the glass is separate from the frames. But they wouldn't send the frames, because, like, well, if you send us the frames, we'll take the faulty glass and we'll just wait for the new glass and you can swap it out. So it doesn't damage the doors or the windows.
No, not at all.
Well, anyway, after like these delays and delays and delays and delays, and the new dates kept getting pushed closer and closer back to this 21st of December, and I was just saying to the builder, I was like, well, you just know there's going to be more delays and they're just going to end up back at that 21st of September date. because that's what they'd always planned.
Yeah, pretty much. And, it sounds it.
Well, they went to pick them up Wednesday last week, and they were like, the manufacturer's like, oh, it's not ready yet. You weren't meant to be coming till Thursday, tomorrow. They're going to be ready tomorrow. And the guy was like, well, no, I've got it all in writing. They're going to be ready today, and they weren't ready. So then he had to go back the next day. Well, he went and collected them on the Thursday to come and bring them to us. Well, do you know what happened on the Thursday? His van was stolen.
Oh, no.
So he says his van was stolen. I said to Bill, I was like, if that bloke turns up on Friday with the van that he said was stolen and he magically got it back again.
And doors in the back of it.
I was going to be so angry. I was like, when the van was stolen, were our windows and doors in it? It was the first thing I said to him, was like, were our windows in it? Oh, that sucks.
That is ridiculous.
So it sounds like I'm being a bit of a moany bastard.
No, not at all. Because you know what? I had the same, not the same issue. So when we moved into our house, we went with another popular company for these sort of doors.
Yeah.
And Jem was insistent that she wanted a new front door.
Yeah.
She didn't think the old one was safe or secure. And she really, first of all, fuck me, do doors cost a lot of money?
Yeah.
So, well, I was there seeing, £500-600. First quote they came out with was, yeah, so what you're looking for is going to be about £2,500. It's like, fuck off.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise how expensive these doors are. But anyway, we got them the price down, and it turns out that if you agree to put their advertising hoarding on your house for a month, they knock quite a large amount of money off your bill.
Yeah, it's all bloody racket, isn't it?
Oh, it's an absolute racket, because they make the fucking things. It's not like it's
they could charge you whatever they want.
Yeah, but the one thing I did like about it is we've got the Yale square keys that go with it.
Yeah.
And the company's given us all this certification that says basically if anyone breaks into your house, or if anyone even tries to pick the lock, then we'll come out and replace the lock. And if they successfully gain entry, then I think it's £10,000 we get. And then they cover the insurance, whatever was stolen.
They specify through the door. If someone breaks into your house, no, through the window.
If someone successfully gets through that lock picking it, then they will pay us £10,000 as an apology, and they'll pay for the insurance of whatever's stolen.
Wicked. Let's get on the phone to lockpicking Laura and get him out of the house then. Get some
lockpicking
money
Laura. How many hours have I sunk into that man's videos of just watching him going, I've got this new lock. They say it's pick resistant.
It's
2 seconds later with a can of Fanta. Oh, look, I've unlocked it. It's like, how?
He does really good April Fool's Day ones. Have you seen any of his
Has he?
Oh, yeah, and it's all sexual innuendo all the way through.
Oh, that's the last one I saw.
You need
to
grease up your wife. And
the wife's back door.
Yeah, that's it. The ex-wife's back door.
Oh, was it the ex-wife's back door? How I'm going to get into the ex-wife's back door here.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Oh, but he's got a really good sense of humour. And the video, whether you care about locks and locksmithing or not, his videos just genuinely are quite cool.
He's got a great voice. He's got great hands. That's all you see is his hands. Yeah, enjoy him. Like, speaking of quotes and things, we just had a quote. So it's a 4x6 square metre room, our living room.
Yeah.
For carpet. They wanted £2,500.
What?
Yeah. I was like, you're joking. We had two bedrooms, the stairs and the landing done for less than a grand.
And carpet companies, again, like door bloody people, I don't trust them. We had carpets done when we moved in, and I swear, we first of all, carpet's not in stock. Would you like to change your mind, have this one? Then there was the whole upselling of, oh, well, really, if you're going to buy that carpet, you really, really must have the premium
underlay, the underlay, yeah.
And to be fair, it brought the price really down. So we said, you know what? If that's part of the deal that you're doing at the moment to get that price down to that, we'll go for it. Then they send out the random fitters who are not affiliated with their company at all. It's just basically, let's have a quick look at Yellow Pages, right? We don't use them anymore, that's a new company, right? Phone them up, say, here's the carpet, go and fit it. I know, they just sent it with standard underlay. And it's like, no, we've paid for the premium. He's like, no, this is what we've been sent with. I said, I don't care if that's what you've been sent with.
Go back and get
that the premium. That is not what we paid for.
So did he have to go back and get it?
Oh, yeah, he went back and got it and came back and moaned and pissed all about it. But then this is the same company as well that then came and laid the lino out in the bathroom. And within a day, big bubbles all under it where it hadn't been glued down properly.
Oh, dear.
Was not blown away. That was a Tappy Carpet, St Albans.
Oh, funny that, because we were going to go to them on Saturday to get a quote. My mum had them browned and she said it was brilliant. quite funny.
Their pricing and their deals were good. I was not blown away with the company that they sent out to do it.
That's what it's all about, isn't it? What's that? It's like Magnet Kitchens, is it?
Oh, yeah, Magnet.
They're a classic one as well, where they've just got random fitters. Like, all their stuff's nice. But then they use a random-ass company
to do it.
Whereas we went with Howden's for hours, and you're allowed to go in as a customer and look at all the stuff, but you're not allowed to buy from them. You have to have a builder. And the builder is the one who goes and buys from them.
Well, that makes sense, because I'm guessing they've got their kind of trade pricing, well, and they've legally, because of the VAT stuff.
What you've got to be careful, the con with Howden's, I am naming and shaming
Howden's. Oh, yeah, go on then.
Is they, well, after we designed our kitchen, right, they reckoned it was going to cost us $22,000. And Miranda and I felt sick, because like, you are joking. But they have all these hidden extras.
Is that with all the appliances as well?
No, there's no appliances. And we're like, you are joking that costs that much. Like, they have things like spice rack things in there. Like, they put 4 spice rack holder things in our cabinets. That's £1,000 worth of spice racks.
Yeah, well, they go fuck themselves. I'm sorry. All you need is mixed herbs, paprika, and salt.
Let me tell you the con of it, right? So they tell you the worst price. They tell you basically the cost plus all of the extra that the builder gets, because you're doing it through the builder. Now, what they then go off and say, oh, well, we can speak to our manager and find out if we can get something taken off. So they go off and they fiddle the numbers and take a percentage off that they're allowed to do before they speak to the builder. So they come back and change it. But the builder has like 3 levels of percentage that they get. It's like 30, 10, and then no percent. So they can give you at cost. No one makes any profit, basically, other than the fitter will get the money for their labour. Are you looking for the train station?
No, I was just saying about parking, whether or not it was worth a little jolly of a walk.
I don't know where you can park around here.
No, I'll just park in the station. I can't be bothered to waste time with trying to find a free parking spot in this time of day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're friends with our builder, so we were getting it at cost.
Yeah, which is good.
So ours cost... We had to get some other things for other bits, because we got all our doors from there and other things. It was 10. That was actually the same cost that she gave us a 22, ended up 10. So it shows you half of what we would have been getting charged would have been going in the pocket of them and the builder for essentially nothing.
Nothing. That's ridiculous. Well, I think
everything gets marked up, because that's how businesses work. You know, well, I know through my own job, you put percentages on because, you know, everyone's got to make some money, else you wouldn't be doing the work. But when you know the percentages and you don't have to sit through their BS, you think, just get on with it. But the thing was, the person that did it at Howden's added loads of stuff. Now, the thing about Howden's, when it gets delivered, if you open the box, they won't take it back and they'll charge you for it. But what my builder knows that. So he was like, before he opened any box, he'll check what it was, check it against what we should have had. And he left loads of things in the box. So, and it's all getting sent back. Well, what he's sending back accounts for about £2,000. So another £2,000 got taken off, which we would have been charged.
But that's so cheeky, isn't it?
Had he opened the box.
So cheeky.
It's nuts.
I mean, that freaks me out, because that's one thing. It's on our list of things.
Right there, look.
Yeah, I think we will do.
Pole position, mate.
It's kind of on our list of things to do with the house, but we just can't afford it at the moment, is the kitchen. We both hate the kitchen. I spend my days in the kitchen because I do all the cooking at home, which is fine. I enjoy it. That's what we agreed to. But we both hate our kitchen. And we were saying, oh, we'll look into it. And then hearing that sort of pricing just makes me go, it's going to be a fucking long time before I get a new kitchen.
I know the size of your kitchen. Like, Howden's, so people will say everyone likes their rain kitchens or their whatever kitchens, whatever. But everyone's going to like their different stuff.
Yeah.
But if you go with Howden's, it's all like in the book. There's literally a book.
Oh, okay.
And it's all in the book. And if it's off the shelf in the book, it's the cheapest ones to get.
Right, okay.
Like ours is like a blue, like a really dark blue colour with an oak interior. Those two colours are just out of the book. So there's no extra cost.
Nice, okay.
And the same with every cabinet. I was making sure whenever I spoke to the builder, I was like, it has to be something from the catalogue. I don't want anything bespokely made that's going to cost a fortune extra. Out the book.
Out the book.
And then that's when Howden's are like adding these things and doing these different plinths and all these like skirting board things, you know, the kickboards. She put fancy ones on. I was like, we never asked for fancy ones. We just said we wanted plain, but she put the fancy ones on.
Get money.
They're twice the price.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. I know that game. Well, look, we're at the train station. So Let's go and get through the barriers and go and get on our train to London. And we'll tell you where we're going in a minute. Bye.
Bye.
The train arriving on platform 69, nice, is for your mum.
Is your anus upsetting your washing? Tired of skid marks after a long day? Sick of your finger smelling like a builder's toilet? Try Skidaway underwear with reinforced Kevlar crack. Your anus, your rules. Skidaway takes no responsibility for you defecating in your own underwear. Protection is limited to light to medium soilage from deep finger scratching. The average lifespan of one pair of Skidaway big boy pants is 15,000 scratches. Refunds not possible once worn.
Now arriving at Leicester Square. A light here for pickpocketing, anal bleaching and obnoxious street performers. Or don't, I don't really care anymore.
Welcome back to the show where two men get sweaty on crap public transport. Although, as you can hear, we're not on public transport, so...
I can't hear you, Tom.
Oh, no, sorry.
The train's really loud.
Oh, we're going through a tunnel.
Toot, toot.
Hang on a moment, we're not on Thomas the fucking Tank. Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway, right.
Hold on, Thomas.
Unfortunately, we recorded this on the train full of Spanish-speaking tourists, and it didn't record. I don't know what was going on. It said it was recording, and it didn't. So we're having to re-record. So we are in Leicester Square at the moment.
I'm being kicked out of the park because the park's closing.
He's not, really?
He just said the park's closing. I wonder why he was closing the gate.
How can you close a public park at only 7 o'clock at fucking night?
Who knows?
Oh, well, you can pick up the taste test stuff.
Looks good.
Anyway, okay, well, yeah, we're in Leicester Square Park. We're getting kicked out of Leicester Square Park.
We've only got one exit.
We now have to go towards someone who's enjoying singing at the top of his voice. And
you can kind of go round and then come and sit down there.
Yeah, we'll have to go. We're going to sit outside TGI Fridays and the Radio Centre. So, yeah, okay. We'll put a sound effect in.
And now a change of pace with a trip into nostalgia as we play Do You Remember?
Do you remember the shit that I bought? Remember? Did you give it a thought? Remember? It's probably tat, that's all.
Woo! And we're back after being kicked out of Leicester Square Park, and we're laughing at the fact that we could just walk over the fence once Mr. Angry Man has gone. But we're sat on the edge of it now, so it doesn't really matter. And we're going to come into Do You Remember? And I forgot to say what's coming up this episode. We've got Do You Remember? We have also got the taste test, where we're tasting Peach Fanta, and we're tasting Smarties Gold Edition.
Nom nom nom.
We've got the... I can't even remember off the top of my head. The Channel 84 Variety Nostalgic Kid Show Knockout, which still makes him laugh, even though it's the second time we've done it today. And then basically this episode is a Star Trek Lower Decks episode. We have got free tickets to go and watch the latest two episodes of Lower Decks at a cinema in central London. There's goodies. It was completely free. So we're going to go and explore that in Star Trek themed T-shirts. And yeah, we'll see how it goes. But anyway, do you remember? We've already done this one, so there's going to be no surprise. I'm really sorry about that, but it happens.
Yeah, and because I always go first, I'm going to go first again.
Yeah, go on, you can go first. So, Rob, what did you bring to the table?
I brought fruit-flavoured polos.
You brought fruit-flavoured polos, and I'm actually quite upset by the fact that I'd already forgotten what you had brought to the table. You get no points for fruit-flavoured polos because I have, in a bowl at home, a pack of fruit-flavoured polos. Poundland still sell them, and they are glorious. And as we said on the train, they are the ones, out of all the polo brand, make your mouth just erupt with saliva. Yeah. But as soon as you crunch them, they become the world's sharpest thing. They're like Toblerone. They will damage your mouth.
Yeah.
Without caring who you are, they will attack it, whatever they can do. So yeah, you brought fruit flavour polos, and it's a nil a pois for you.
Nil pois for me.
So coming on to me.
Yes.
I bought you a page from the Argos catalogue. Now, if you didn't know this, and you might have been under a rock because it comes on Twitter all the time, and Ashens and Ashfrith, a very funny comedian, by the way, Rob, I'll introduce you at some point, are doing... or starting to do a stand-up kind of tour where they talk about the Argos catalogue.
Right.
And RetroMash is a wonderful webpage where people have uploaded a load of full edition of Argos catalogues from the 80s and 90s. So you can pretend you're back to being 8 years old and circling all the stuff that you would have wanted being a child, which I think is a brilliant bloody idea. And I went through it earlier and I came across the personal organised page because as a kid, I wanted to be that really cool kid that went around and had all my contacts, my diary, and the world clock at my hands.
Yeah.
Because they were shit. I'm really glad I didn't buy one or pester a parent into buying me one, because what would I have done with it? Seriously.
Yeah. And looking at the piece of paper you brought with the price range of being from anywhere from £10 to £80.
Yeah, so I would have ended up with the £10 one. So a single line LCD where I could put in people's phone numbers and maybe a calendar and a calculator. Wow.
Yeah.
Such a cool... I mean, they were... I'm pretty sure my whole brain was like, Inspector Gadget, Penny. Penny has an amazing computer book. Therefore, I want a personal organizer.
Yeah.
And in my head, they were all as good as like the Scion Series 3 around that time, or even later on the Scion Series 5, which were just amazing handhelds. I will buy one off eBay at some point. But they were just crap, so I'm really glad I didn't get one, but...
You get a point.
I get a point. Which brings it to 7-all. Yeah. So after last week, you bought... Rob's checking the paper because he's forgotten.
Connect.
He bought the Xbox Kinect. I bought Dark Forces. Neither of us got a point last week. This brings us to 7-all. And now we're going to come over to our guest, which is really cool. So Sam from Killer Rabbit Podcast, Mule on Twitter, has sent in Looney Tunes Walker's Crisps. Now, if you don't remember these, in like the early 90s, mid 90s, Walker's did all of their normal crisps, prawn cocktail, salt and vinegar, ready salted, but they were kind of a disco style and they had on them, burnt on, the Looney Tunes characters. Yep. Do you remember them?
I do remember them because we used to get them.
Had you thought about them recently?
I have to say I have because of TikTok.
There we go. And we think, Sam, you have a problem now because what you've sent me, and including next week's one, which I haven't told Rob, or next episode, sorry, I saw on Facebook on a nostalgia group. Rob saw this one on TikTok.
Yeah.
We think you might be following the same things that we do. So no point for you, Sam.
Sorry. Join me in the loser's corner.
Karen, on the other hand, has bought something.
The House of Winners.
And she's promised she's not going to slip it in all the time, which is a lovely thing for her to promise. And sorry, Karen, I didn't mean to marry you off last week. And Rob just went with it. It wasn't Rob's fault. I was the one that married you both off. So
I
apologies.
I assumed they were married.
Yeah, I kind of did. So, yeah, sorry. He hasn't put a ring on it yet.
No. Well, he's going to lose it, isn't he?
Oh, Beyonce, you're not. She has bought a storyteller. And I was so excited when I saw this because I thought, yes, Karen's not getting a point, because I immediately thought she was going to be talking about Storyteller magazine, which was a weekly magazine. You got a cassette tape of the stories. It's what introduced the world to when you hear the ping, ping, turn the page. But it wasn't. She was talking about Jim Henson's creation. What do you remember of Storyteller, the man and his dog telling you stories?
I remember watching it. You sit there. Another show. I seem to talk about my nan all the time. Another show I used to sit there and watch with my nan when she looks after us. Have a thought about it recently? Not for fucking years.
Oh, I haven't thought about it for years. So Karen, annoyingly, you get a point.
Yeah.
You are going to start catching up with our points soon. So
she got 2 or 3 points.
She's got 3 points, two now, I think.
She's got two.
I think. Oh, I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's 2 points.
Okay.
But it does mean you're not allowed to enter next week now, Karen. But Mr. Court has to.
Yeah, you're on hiatus now. So, yeah, Mr. The loser
Court,
in your
you
house.
Need to try and get some points. So can't you send us something next week?
Yeah.
Again, apologies that you remember has been a bit rushed, but we have already gone through it once because of this recording fuck up. Really sorry about that. Really sorry. So yeah, we will move on. So have a sound effect and you can join us for the taste test.
Little Bastard Buttermilk Bars. The chewy, toffee-centered chocolate wonder bar that keeps those noisy little bundles of COVID chewing for hours. Need to shut them up? Then butter them up with new Little Bastard Buttermilk Bars. Little Bastard Buttermilk Bars are owned and distributed by BioFromage, the leader in all things genetically created. Little Bastard Buttermilk Bars contain no additives, e-numbers, colors, flavors, or added sweatshop sweat. Each bar has been delivered from the uterine lining of a Little Bastard Buttermilk Hive Mind TM. Limit your child to 1/4 of a bar per month to protect them from internal damage. Side effects may include your child being cooler than you and death.
Hold up.
Get your taste buds ready for another tasting session with Tom and Rob. Mmm, delicious.
Hello again. This is the second ASMR part of the podcast. Just like the fortnight ago. I always want to say last week, but it's not last week.
It's not, is it? I mean,
it's last week for us.
We could probably go to weekly, but I think the stress of making sure we record every week would probably kill us both, bearing in mind that you're kind of rebuilding your house. I'm doing work. We both got kids. A weekly episode just sounds like a really stupid idea.
We could probably move to it eventually.
Yeah.
We're managing to record weekly.
That's true. What we'll do, we will consider it in the future. Let's get a year under our belt. We'll decide at that point. And then at that point, I'm hoping you've not taken on any more building projects.
No, I'm
and
not doing this ever again.
You can like do half the editing. So I'll edit an episode, you edit an episode.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Anyway, right, sorry.
Right,
it's
as
your
I was
section.
Saying,
ASMR time. It's time to eat some food.
And we're recording these on the lavalier mics, hence the reason we've already had one fuck up with them. Hopefully you can hear us and you're not just hearing the sound of Leicester Square and somebody screeching. But yeah, sorry, Rob.
So you've brought the items. You've brought an American Fanta Peach.
So it should be full of sugar.
Let's have a look. It's total sugar's 40 grams.
Oh yeah, that's
81% sugar.
Yes, baby boy.
This drink is 81%. And it looks like it's the slightly taller can. That's what I meant to say to you on the Canada ones. I've got a photo of a can of Coke from Canada. There's more.
Is it 360ml, not 330?
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah, because I kept looking at it thinking, this can looks... Yeah, this is 355ml.
Oh, that's giving me a really good do, you remember?
This, yeah, because I'm looking at this can and thinking, it doesn't quite look right. It's just a bit taller. And
yes.
That's it, it's just a bit taller.
And the thing is, I don't notice it in the newsagent I buy these because all the American ones are all next to each other.
Yeah. And then you've also brought gold Smarties buttons made with Aramac.
Yeah, so these are just chocolate buttons with lumps of Smartie in, but they've been made with, just like everything Nestle at the moment, Caramac has been thrown into the mix. Well, let's have a... Oh, they're chunkier
smell.
Than I thought.
Yeah, I didn't get any smell.
Oh my God, you smell.
No, there's a really, really, really light smell of Caramac, but...
That's what I was expecting, a big woofed of Caramac coming out of the bag.
I'm going to eat two at a time here. Oh. So let's give this a chance, and you're not going to actually hear us go munch, munch, munch for once. Or if you can, it's bloody amazing microphones. Oh. Okay.
I went straight in for two more before I'd even finish, so I think that's going to tell you, TJ, what I think of these.
Yeah, I'm going to say these are full-on...
I'm into these.
Oh, right. Shit, no, hang on, we need to talk about scores in
okay,
a moment.
Okay, so, I re-listened.
I'm eating more while Rob talks.
I re-listened, and I'm pretty sure on the very first time I said between 2 and 6.4. So... If I've changed that anywhere else, that's a lie. We are doing 2 to 6.4. That is the ratio.
That is the official ratio, is it?
Yeah. These are really good.
These are really good. But the problem is...
These are at the level that those munchy things were.
I'm not going to say they're bad. I'm not going to give them a bad score. But they are no different, really, to those munchies, except for the fact they've got chunks of Smarties in rather than caramel.
Yeah, quite right.
Sorry. I know it's really inappropriate to say... That girl is basically wearing a belt. I'm sorry.
No, I just looked at her. I wondered what you were looking at.
She's,
I was like, oh,
she's
yeah.
walking away, and all I can see is her ass cheeks bouncing away. It's kind of... How can you even think that's kind of a good look? Anyway, sorry, that's really, really inappropriate. But when you walk past with your ass hanging out, it's kind of very hard to miss. Rob's actually polishing off the Smarties without me getting a touch.
Eight of them
hang on a moment. Oh, yeah. He really has actually polished off like a third of the pack already.
These are great.
Right, now you've got to give them a score.
Okay. Well, let me just say, I can feel the sore throat coming through.
So it's getting that white chocolatey vibe for you.
Because of that, it can't be in the sixes. Because the munchy ones did not do that.
Didn't they?
No, they didn't do it.
But I think that's because they only had kind of the lightest coating of white chocolate on the outside.
Now I have a sore throat. They taste amazing. Absolutely amazing. They are so good. I'm giving them a...
I think the only reason I'd punish them is because they're just very similar flavours to everything else.
I'm going to give them a five-point soothers for my throat.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm going to go for a 5-point, same as every other Karamat band been released recently. I know it's a bit long-winded, but that's the score I'm going to give it.
When we started this, didn't I say, on your birthday podcast, didn't I say, I don't like Karamak because we brought a Karamak bar?
I'm pretty sure you did. I'm pretty sure you said it wasn't one of your favourites.
It turns out I do actually like Karamak.
Yeah, but didn't you say you didn't like it because of the sore throat thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, look. I shared with you on the tube that my wife constantly jokes that when I say, oh, Rob's coming over to record, or I'm going out with Rob. Oh, you're going out with your boyfriend, are you? And then she also jokes, well, you could do worse, so it's fine, yeah. Okay? We are going to have to share a can of drink.
I'm not special, don't worry.
No, I don't care. I've not got any germs. I've not got COVID, I hope.
Well, we're kissing earlier. What difference does it make?
Sorry. I've just ripped my tongue to shreds while I tongue-fucked the hole.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, right. Ooh, okay.
Smell good?
No, it's like, you have a sniff. Have a huff on that. It doesn't have much of a huff at all.
Doesn't smell, are they?
You get, there's definitely a peach huff.
It smells like someone's got some Archers and watered it down.
Yeah, but I'm guessing it's because 80% content of sugar doesn't actually smell.
We're going to be climbing the walls in this cinema.
More than likely, we'll be really excited to have this. So hang on, I'm going to have a taste now. That is Archer's Aqua without alcohol. It hasn't got that bite of the schnapps, but that is an Archer's Aqua without the schnapps.
All the taste is in the aftertaste. For me, I'd say. It didn't really taste like very much while I was drinking it.
Yes.
But then the aftertaste is there. It's clearly peach.
That is very clearly peach. I'm not disappointed by the flavour, and I'm not that much of a fan of peach stuff normally.
I would not buy it. Now I know how it tastes, so I don't actually like that very much.
No, it's fair enough. I don't mind it. I can imagine if this wasn't lukewarm because of being on the train for so long.
both of us went to grab the buns.
The Smarties nearly blew away. That would have been end of life kind of sort of thing. Yeah, if this was ice cold, I mean packed with ice, that might be really nice.
Yeah, it needs ice.
And it probably needs some schnapps. At which point you might as well just bring back Archer's Aqua.
It just needs some schnapps. You know, I really like my Coke when it's got vodka in it.
I really like my Coke when it's got added whiskey.
Yeah. I really like it when they make Coke with 20% vodka.
And you remove the Coke. You know, I don't mind that. I'm not going to give it a super high score, but I'd say in this heat, if I had a glass of ice and that in, I would be pleasantly happy with drinking that one, thinking this is nice and refreshing. I'm going to go for a 4-point sweaty testicle.
I'm going to give that a 3-point tropical.
A 3-point tropical? That's quite low.
Yeah.
It's but fair enough, if you didn't like it, you didn't like it. I'm not going to bully you into giving it a better score.
That's a mid-range. Well, I'd say 3-point tropical is like the top of a 3.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, because it's not something I now I've tasted that, I would never buy that. I'd never buy it.
Yeah, you see, I wouldn't buy it because it's got the American sweet tax on it. So it's like £1 something for a can.
But you know there's sugar in that. I can taste it on my teeth.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah,
there is sugar in there.
There is delicious sugar in
that. And I think that's probably why it got that many points, is there sugar in it.
Yeah, possibly. Well, you know what? I'm going to let you do taste test next week, so you can surprise us next week with that. Yeah. But let's come on to the Channel 84 Variety Nostalgic Kids Show Knockout. We've got 45 minutes. So I reckon we've got time, and then we can start walking towards where we've got to go. So we'll put a sound effect in.
Unless we get booted off this wall.
And now, on the Channel 84 Variety Show, for our older viewers, join us as we go into another episode of the Channel 84 Nostalgic Kids Show Knockout.
And we're back with the Channel 84 Variety Nostalgic Kids Show Knockout. We've got lots. Oh, for God's sake, Rob,
it's
stop
so
laughing
funny.
At
really
it.
Like it. And it's genuine too. It's not even a fake laugh. It's a genuine laugh.
Now, I got lots of positive feedback about our little intros that we've got for each section now.
Oh,
so I'm going to be keeping most of them. I'm going to put some different ones in for this because it's an out and about episode, but I think we are going to keep most of the ones that we kind of created with a AI voiceover. I know AI is to evil, but you'll get over it. Last week then we had Record Breakers beat Chippendale. We had Wizardora lose against Superdead, which I still wholeheartedly agree with both those results.
Yeah.
I still can't find the Record Breakers thing, so I'm going to say that I have made that up in my head, or we just remembering the end of Record Breakers, and that was it. But there, this week's, this episode even, because I do the same as you, right? I call it week. It's not. It's this episode.
Yeah, we just mean episode, but we'll keep saying week.
Right. This episode, the first round for Group G then is Shoe People versus Penny Crayon. Do you remember either of those?
Yes, I remember them both. After looking them up, I remember them both.
Yeah, I remember both of them. Shoe People for me, I didn't care about. I don't know if it's because I'm just that little bit young for it and it was kind of an early 80s one. But Penny Crayon, I used to love watching. Used to love to think, what would I draw if I had a pencil that could create things? Knowing as a teenager, if I watched it, you know, imagine the amount of cocks that would appear and balls that would appear.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Just, my God, why is it so full of dildos everywhere? Sentient. Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, you draw a face on it. Boom, it's alive.
It's like Forky, isn't it? What am I?
Yes, that is one of the best bits of any of the Toy Story films. And when he's just like,
trash,
what am I?
Trash.
It's wonderful, wonderful stuff. But yeah, look, you go for it. Shoe People versus Penny Crayon. Walk me through your feelings about both.
Shoe People.
You're choosing Shoe
People?
Yeah,
I am, yeah, because I didn't like the Penny.
No, so this is, it gets difficult. And I say this every goddamn week, I swear I do. But Penny Crayon is the better of the shows for the idea. The thing I hated about Penny Crayon was the fucking god-awful voice of, I think it's Sue Pollard, who was in Heidi High, who then did Penny Crayon's fucking voice. It drills through you like a fucking hammer drill.
That's the kind of thing that did then and still does now, makes me stop watching stuff. So because of that, I wouldn't have been watching it. I would have gone, I'm not gonna watch this, don't like it.
Yeah, and it's so I have the same thing about certain things. If a show is too cringe, or too cringy, what's the right way of saying that? If something's too cringy, I really struggle to watch it. So like The Office, especially the Ricky Gervais Office, I just find it so, I don't know if it's because it's so too close to being real life and therefore it becomes a little too cringeworthy. I really struggle with watching it, so I won't.
There's a comedy that comes from awkward interactions that I as well don't like.
Yeah.
So I've only, as I've gotten older, start enjoying it. But it's still a bit why I can't watch the English one, because he's so good at it.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, isn't it?
Because he's so good at it.
And, I mean, I don't get it with Alan Partridge. Alan Partridge is a genius idea, but you don't get it quite as much with him because it's more comedic, I think, the events that happen within that. Whereas the whole The Office thing, especially the British one, I can picture a lot of the events that happen that actually happening in real offices.
I think what it is because we've said before in here, I don't like prank videos, particularly when I know that the person getting pranked on isn't part of it.
Yes.
I do not enjoy that. And I think because Ricky Gervais's office is so, he's so good that it's like the show's taking the piss out of him.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the awkwardness comes from. It's like he's not in on the joke that everyone thinks he's a joke.
Yeah.
And he acts it so well. Maybe that's why I don't like it.
Yeah. And you know what? It even extends to, I saw Blue Beetle the other day.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ruin it for you. I quite enjoyed it. The thing I didn't enjoy was the main character's family are portrayed as the typical, we're really close-knit, embarrassing, loud family. That kind of stereotype of family. And they do it so well, I find it painful to watch.
Yeah.
And it kind of just, it irks me and I don't know why. And I know that's what it's meant to do, but it doesn't irk me in the way that I think they want it to, which is you go, ha ha, poor sod, that sort of thing. It's more like, I want to just donkey punch all of them, unconscious, please. So,
I just want to say the shoe people is like the Poddington Peas of shoes.
It is. It is Poddington Peas with shoes, basically.
But I have to say shoe people.
But shoe people's got deeper characters. I went back and watched some of them. It has got deeper characterizations than Poddington Peas.
More than one season, I think, probably.
Yeah,
season two. I can see a
more episodes of shoe people as well.
Well, as I was informed, there was only that many Poddington Peas episodes because it had hit perfection after 12 episodes.
Oh, absolutely. You don't need.
I think that was one of the Killer
Rabbit
guys said that. Go on then. Yes. Well, it's going to be your one because always.
No,
Twitter
you know,
goes
I'm going to go with Shoe People.
Are you? Okay.
Because her voice is what put me off. I enjoyed it. I liked the idea of it. I liked the theme tune. But her voice is so fucking grating. I would often choose not to watch it unless there really was nothing else on. Whereas Shoe People, I remember it. I remember watching it. Maybe not as well as watching Penny Crayon, but.
Don't remember disliking it.
I don't remember disliking it. And yet again, we've gone against the people.
Yeah, you see, look, if you had gone with the other one. 22.2%
had gone with the Shoe People. 77.8% went with Penny Crayon.
Right.
I am going to go with, that's an age thing, though, and I reckon more people remember Penny Crayon than
they
do.
Both 1987.
Oh, really?
No, in fact, Penny is 1989.
Wow.
So she was later.
I thought Shoe People was way earlier than that.
Penny Crayon, 1989. Shoe People, 1987.
Okay.
Went on to be broadcast in 62 countries, Shoe People.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Well, I guess when you've got talking shoes with no rising, it doesn't matter what language they're speaking.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's we've gone against the people, but Shoe People win this round.
Did you say, do you know how many, or is that you didn't write?
I've only got the percentages. Okay. I didn't write down how many people voted this time. So that's going to bring us on to the final match of Group G then, and that's Pinky and the Brain versus Batman Animated. Now, I know Ven brought up a really good point. How do you remember Pinky and the Brain? Do you only remember it as part of the Animaniacs?
Yes.
Or do you remember it on Saturday morning TV when it then transitioned and got its own show?
Well, I remember both, but I distinctly really remember it from Animaniacs.
So the first time in my main memories of it, Animaniacs, you got the main Animaniacs episode, you then either got a Pinky in the Brain, an Elvira, I can't think of any of the other characters now, but you normally got like a mix of the characters, didn't you?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Pinky and the Brain kind of went to, you get two episodes of Pinky and the Brain instead, and they've got their own separate show, so.
This is a really tough one because I loved both of these shows.
Right, so second show is Batman Animated Series, and we're talking Mark Hamill, Joker Batman Animated here, and both are epic.
This is the one that had the brown bat man in it too, right?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So that's the bit I remember really, and the intro, because it had him in the intro.
But the thing, what I'll say about the Batman Animated Series is, you actually got a feeling, unlike some of the films, of the characters being what they look like on screen as well. So you had the Scarecrow was in it, you had Joker, you had Bane, you had Poison Ivy, you had all of them in there, and they were portrayed by amazing voice actors. I mean, as I say, Joker was done by Mark Hamill, who's just a legend, full stop, not just because of Star Wars, but he did a film called Brigsby Bear, which is kind of this independent film, which I can guarantee very few of our listeners will have ever watched, if any. And he plays a dad who basically stops his son from ever going outside. He says it's all evil outside. And the only thing his son has ever watched, because there's no TV in the house, the only thing he's allowed to watch is a show called Brigsby Bear. And his dad has basically taught him, so he's not allowed to go to school, he's got no TV to learn. His dad has got his own recording studio where he records the episodes of Brigsby Bear. He is Brigsby Bear, teaching his son all the morals that he wants him to have. Yeah. It's a really weird film. Oh, that's it, he's kidnapped. They kidnap him. Then he's not even their biological son. They kidnap him because they can't have a child. So it's a really, anyway, so Mark Hamill's, and it makes this really hard, because Pinky and the Brain, solid comedy.
Yeah.
90s era.
Both four seasons, I just checked.
Oh, fine. And but then Batman Animated Series, it was dark. It wasn't like any other cartoon, was it? It wasn't like Spider-Man, the cartoon, which would have been out at a similar time, or the X-Men cartoon. Actually, no, the X-Men cartoon was dark and gritty, wasn't it?
Yeah, it could dig parts.
But the Spider-Man of the similar era, Batman the era, wasn't. I guess The Flash was also a bit of a dark, gritty one. It was just that era of DC Comics making amazing animated series that were just really good. I mean, for me, I've got to go with Batman, the Animated Series.
so much of me wants to say Batman. So much of me does, because I think in general it's a better cartoon.
Yeah.
But when I look back and think of cartoons, I sing the Pinky and the Brain theme tune.
Pinky and the Brain, yeah. Brain.
What are we going to deny, Pinky? What are we going to deny, Brain? Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world. And I think it's because of that, I'm going to go opposite to you and say Pinky and the Brain.
Well, no, that's fine, because then we can come to the people.
Well, it's going to be Batman then, isn't it?
It's Pinky and the Brain.
No, they agree with me.
61.5% of the people went with Pinky and the Brain.
That's the first time ever.
And 38.5% went with Batman Animated, which really surprises me, because I genuinely thought we'd have more kind of DC Batman fans. But no, apparently the comedy and just the classicness that Pinky and the Brain was, just took it.
As cartoons go, Batman is a flipping brilliant cartoon.
Oh, absolutely.
But as I said, it's not something though. Pinky I guess in the you brain, can't. Just... I sing Pinky in the Brain.
I guess the thing with Batman the Animated Series, you've got to get engrossed in it, don't you? Because it is a continuing story like the comic books were. Whereas Pinky in the Brain, you could just put on two or three episodes and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But you've got to get invested in Batman. If you're going to watch it, you've got to start watching it at the beginning. You can't just go, I'll watch a random episode. I know there were, was it two or three episodes at a time? I honestly can't remember that well. But Pinky and the Brain's just easier to watch, I guess. And it's funny. So no, you know, I'm not going to go against you. It's fine. Pinky and the Brain take it. Batman loses. But that is another Channel 84 Variety Nostalgic Kids Show knockout for this episode, I guess.
Now, I'm Batman.
We have got half an hour to walk our way, not very far, to the cinema.
Okay.
So what I'd suggest is we're going to stop recording now. We'll walk off and we'll go and enjoy this Lower Deck season. And if we can, we'll record when we're in there as well a couple of bits. But when we come back, we're going to be on the platform and on the train on our way home talking about all things Star Trek. Agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed.
Love you.
Right. Sound effect when I work out how to stop this recording.
Mind the gap. Yes, you in the baseball cap. I said mind the gap. Are you fucking deaf? Mind the fucking gap, you prick.
So how was that then, Rob?
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. I was like smiling all the way through. My face hurts.
For a free event as well, I am blown away by how entertaining that was. So those of you that weren't there, obviously going to be a fair few of you weren't there, but if you were, hello, we were there too. We got, what was it, 3 episodes from the previous season?
Yeah, one from each season, wasn't it?
Yes, we got one from each season. We got some little interlude bits talking about the history of the animated one. We then got possibly the funniest thing I've seen in a long time, which was very short treks.
Yeah.
And I can't even explain what that was.
It was the old animated series, wasn't it?
It was based, it was an modern animation done in the style of the original series animation, animated series. And it was just...
written by the Lower Decks people, by the sound of it.
It was stupid. And it was just funny. And hearing the whole crowd just erupt with laughter throughout all of it was just... it was really, really good.
Mm.
But then we got to the really, really juicy bit, which was episode 1 of season 4.
Yep.
And I guess we'll come on to that in a little bit. But what did we get in the gift bags? Because, we got gift bags, everyone.
I'm looking at the stickers.
I'm hoping they're the same. So,
where do you got need? I think that's all we could do. Do you remember that? Got need.
What?
With the football stickers.
Oh,
you
yeah.
The same
yeah.
ones. Got need.
So, I think we got the same stickers, didn't we?
Got psychopathic AI.
Yeah, so we've got Badgy.
Bridge crew people.
We've got the Cerritos. Bridge crew, and then Lower Decks.
Yep.
So, we've got stickers. We've got a little bag of sweeties. My favourite's got to be the luggage tag.
There's a luggage tag in there, and there's a couple of flags.
So property of the USS Cerritos, NCC 75567. Really nice leather luggage tag. So can you actually put your own details in it as well? Yeah, you can. Oh, look at that.
I haven't opened it.
It's got a name, rank, address, com badge number, and favourite captain. That's awesome. And then, a couple of flags in there as well. So
a bag of sweets for I'm going to open.
For freebies, it's really good.
Yeah, the whole thing was blinking brilliant.
And then just as we were leaving as well, someone pointed out there was a table with no one guarding it, and it was full of pin badges.
Yeah, so everyone was like shuffling that.
Yeah, so everyone's stolen pin badges, and no doubt there'll probably be a tweet going, can we have them returned, please?
Yeah.
No, is the sir.
Oh, I've got a spaceman suite.
Oh, I hadn't even opened them up yet, but they look
really good. I'm rooting it now.
Nice. Okay. They're what are they?
A pick a mix.
Yeah, penny pick a mix.
A mermaid.
Probably use way more money than a penny nowadays.
A mermaid.
So, right, we've got to catch up on Lower Decks now, because you've caught up on season 3, yeah?
Oh, I did, yeah, before we... In like 3 days, I watched the whole thing.
Which is, it's an impressive feat.
Yeah.
Because that does require some proper hardcore watching.
Because I wrote some notes.
You've written some notes. Take it away, go on, you take it away. Season 3, notes, off you go.
Three episodes that stuck out to me, but 6, 7, and 8. So, was it Hear All, Trust Nothing, or was episode 6? That was a Deep Space Nine one.
Oh, that...
The tacky Kardashian fascist icon. Yeah. That's what they called the
DC. I was just crying a lot every time. It's like, just loop around. And it's playing for Deep Space. So, we run out, Captain. Just loop around. Mm. It just starts the music again.
It was so funny. I think they just kind of got funnier and funnier.
But so, you know what? That whole joke, though, of them going around and playing the Deep Space Nine music, if that was The Simpsons, everyone would be going, oh, you can tell it's going to be a crap episode. They've not got enough material to fill it out.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that in that. It feels like in Lower Decks, they know exactly what they're doing and they could just pad it out as much as they want and still make an amazing episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I was really kind of blown away by that. That was a really good one. And having Quarks and the whole joke of, well, we don't even have money, so Quark Bucks is amazing.
Yeah. And episode 7 was Mathematically Perfect Redemption. With Peanut Happer goes on the bird planet.
Yeah. How would it even work? We're so different.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. One of my first notes is Peanut Tamper Sex.
Yeah, it's just wrong on so many levels.
Yeah.
But that's a really good episode as well, because the fact that it doesn't like feature the main crew or the main characters in it, just the stupid little bot from a random episode previously.
She's still a twat at the end of it anyway.
Yes. There's no redemption at all in that. No, it's a really good episode. I like the fact that they adopt all the technology at the end.
Mm. And then she gets started. Cool, I've written it down. The self-aware megalomaniacal computer storage.
Oh yes. yeah, that so ties in though with Picard, doesn't it? With the Section 31 outpost they go to, where there's everything being stored. So you know that's exactly where she is.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like to think now, like Picard. Peter Hamper is in Picard somewhere.
I'd love that. Wouldn't that be great if one of the live action ones had her?
Peter Hamper just sat there in the background.
Yeah, that would be brilliant. And then an episode that we actually just saw, episode 8, Crisis Point 2.
That was a really good one, but for different reasons.
Mm.
It had its funny moments. Knick Knack is the prime funny moment in that, isn't it? But they managed to do the kind of whole emotional thing in it as well and get kind of just really good storyline into it rather than just make it solidly comedy.
I was like with the knickknack, they kept getting his name wrong, and then when she's going out there, he's like, knickknack! My name's knickknack!
Yeah, it's that pitiful correction every time, isn't it? And then it's like that final shot, there's the knickknack reveal! But the thing is, they're so beautifully crafted at getting all the bits of Trek that's happened before.
Yeah.
So these things have happened in episodes or films, and they've just... So the people that write it obviously love Star Trek. They obviously have paid attention and watched it all so much to be able to pick up all the little bits that happen.
Yeah.
I think, though, I don't know what I'd say my favourite episode is out of Series 3. I think at the... Up until today, I would have said I Excretus was still my favourite episode.
But just we because both of, now have a new favourite.
Yeah, just because of all of the things that are going on in I Excretus and all the love to the previous series and everything from there. It's just brilliant. But then we saw episode 1 of series 4 today.
Yeah.
What was it called, Rob?
Tuvix.
Tuvix.
I had to think of it. And it was a Voyager episode.
It was a complete... his take of the Voyager episode with Tuvix, and it's just I really can't
explain
it.
You don't really want to spoil it because people need to watch it because it's so hilarious.
Yeah, you have to watch it just purely to get how funny it was, but it's ached.
It's got everything, hasn't it? It's got it's got the newts, it's got Borg.
Yes.
It's got
Borg newts.
It's got Borg newts. Cheese.
Yes, Neelix's cheese, the virus.
Yeah.
The clown, whatever the...
All the hologram stuff that goes wrong. The
yeah,
stuff
all,
that goes
all the
wrong.
Evil holograms. There's... it's possibly kind of the most solid and the most packed episode.
And it's like joke after joke after joke after joke.
Yeah, exactly. It is constantly firing.
Yeah.
Really hoping they haven't just spoffed all their load in one episode.
Yeah.
And that the rest of season four is going to be good. But I can't see that they would ruin it. I really can't.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I was expecting two episodes for some reason. I don't know where I'd got the idea that they'd be like two episodes of season four.
I think it might have said on the blurb bit that you said it might have, on the ticket, it might have said two episodes. Or maybe just because two episodes have been released on the Paramount thing. That's what,
that's what I'm thinking. Maybe it's just because in my head I saw two on the Paramount and that was it. But I haven't even got the ticket with me anymore. I don't know where that's gone. So I couldn't even tell you.
Oh, did she take it? The lady?
No, I think I just stuck it in my pocket. And to be honest, I don't want to dig around in my pockets at the moment. What else was really nice about the event? Oh, we got free refreshments.
Yeah, so I'm eating a UFO now.
We got a free box of popcorn and a free slushie, which was good because that was all branded as well. So the popcorn box, and I'll get these up on Twitter later.
And red, red is a colour.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
I got the green one.
So, yeah, so there's the Simpsons joke where... it's Simpsons, isn't it? Homer says... purple's a flavour.
Yeah.
And I managed to go, well, green is a colour. It's like, yes, well done, Tom, it is. Completely ballsing that one up. Oh.
We're about to be told we're somewhere.
I think we're arriving at Harrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are on approach to Harrow and Wheatstone. Waiting the train is on the drop-off step on the platform.
No, I won't mind
the
drop-off
step. He means mind the gap.
No, I don't know if they're allowed to say mind the gap. I think that's a TfL thing for the tube.
Oh, is it?
I don't know. I think they did trademark it at some point, but I wonder if that's just for...
Mind the Tommy Hilfiger.
Ba-dum-tsh. That is a terrible joke.
I'm eating a mermaid now.
You're eating a mermaid now. Oh, it looks like a bubblegum.
It's not rice, it's rotten.
Yeah, if only you could see his face, ladies and gents. It's screwed up.
It's really sour.
It's sour. Oh. Hang on, is the platform our side or...?
Am I about to fall out?
Yeah, either Rob's about to fall out or we're about to get stampeded as people try and get off.
I might have to stand up and let people on or off.
Yeah, it's Rob's side, but it doesn't look like anyone's getting off this side, so I think we're lucky at the moment. Just trying to think, is there anything else we can say? So, yeah, definitely... Series 4, Episode 1 is our current favourite out of all the series, isn't it?
It's, definitely.
That's what I wanted to bring up. I was trying to think for any other animated series at the moment that kind of fits within what Lower Decks does. And the closest I can think is it's kind of Rick and Morty, but done way better.
I'm a whole season behind Rick and Morty.
I've kind of given up with it because they haven't really gone anywhere new with it for ages. The first couple of seasons, absolute genius. And I say the same about Archer as I do about Rick and Morty. The first two or three seasons are brilliant, and then it's just on repeat. There is nothing new introduced to it. Yet, with Lower Decks so far, first three seasons, and that's why I'm worried about season four, because I find all my favourite shows at the moment do three amazing series, and then the fourth onwards is just rehashing what they've already done.
Well, unless they blew their load in episode one, I think four's going to be pretty good.
Well, without spoiling it, there's someone introduced in series four, episode one of series four, which looks like it's going to be an ongoing story point. So hopefully that means that we've got something for it to revolve around. But like I was saying with Rick and Morty, though, it is just more of the same for Rick and Morty. Every season that they've released since, it doesn't ever feel new, whereas Lower Decks so far has always felt...
Are you allowed to watch it, though? Hasn't it been cancelled?
I think they're changing the voices. That's why I'm okay with, what's it called? Solar Opposites, which actually I prefer to Rick and Morty now. And what they've done there is it's brilliant.
I think you linked it.
I showed you the video, didn't they? Basically shoot him in the throat, change his voice to a British voice, and go, no, leave it. I like it like this.
Yeah, it's your voice now, yeah.
It's like, fine. Fair enough. If that's how they go about it, and admit that, yeah, we don't want to have anything to do with them, brilliant.
Yeah.
Was it you that watches BoJack Horseman?
I watched the first couple of seasons and enjoyed it, and then kind of drifted off from it. I do need to go back and watch it.
I'd never seen it.
Oh, it's good. It's funny, but it's dark comedy. It's not anything like what we've been watching.
Right.
So it's not Rick and Morty. It's not laugh out loud stuff. It's more a thinking man's comedy.
Yeah, got ya.
So it's a little bit different. Mm. Yeah, a big bit different. And the animation style's a bit weird. You've got to get your head around the animation as well. If you don't like that sort of thing, then it might be problematic.
Yeah,
but
I've not ever seen it.
No, fair enough.
Well, cartoon-wise, I think Lodex, other than the odd anime, that's the Lodex is the only thing I watch, I think.
Yeah, fair enough. Even then, Lower Decks, sometimes I kind of watch the animation style and that go, it's a bit janky sometimes. But then you get the exterior shots and it always looks really
when
nice.
When it's janky, it's on purpose, I think. I think they're doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, when they kind of, like, the animations feel like it's flowing because it's like literally a jump of an arm moving to position. I think it's part of the look of it. But then, when they do the 3D kind of outer external bits, it's smooth.
Yeah,
really cool, you know,
it always
awesome.
Looks really good whenever it's external, when you've got the planets, you've got the ships involved.
Yeah.
I was just going to say something and it's just slipped out of my mind. I hate it when that happens. I was going to say something. It might have been meaningful. It might have just been
may or may not have been worth it.
I don't know. That's the thing, though. We both went into this event, didn't we, thinking it'd be about an hour and a half, then we'll be out on the way home. It's currently 11:30 and we're on the train, as you can hear, and it's like, this is late for us.
Yeah. Even when we record, we're normally kind of done by 11.
Yeah, we're done by 11 normally, so we're past that point.
We're
haven't had dinner.
To pumpkins. Oh. Yeah, we haven't had dinner.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do about that.
Or tea.
I might find a late night open pizza shop. But, okay, well, unless you've got anything else to bring up about Lower Decks.
Not right now. I might think of something before we get to the car.
Ah, fair enough. Well, yeah, we are going to record again, obviously, to say goodbyes, have our rants while we drive back. But, rank the season so far, if you can.
Rank it. Give it a digital number.
Yeah, go on a digital.
Oh no, sorry. In order, rank them in order. Or just...
Yeah, rank them in order. Not every episode, obviously, because let's face it, neither of us are that good at knowing it.
So not can't count number four, season four, because that'd be winning so far. Because it's got the best.
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to put it at the top as a temporary location until it's finished the whole series.
Yeah, because that episode was so good. I think that's first.
But I've got to say, I think it is. It's going to be 3-2-1. I think in my books.
I was definitely 3 next, and I was thinking it's either 3-1-2 or 3-2-1.
You see, I found series 1 possibly not the weakest, because that's not fair, because I don't think any of it's been weak, but I found 1 was the hardest to get into, and then once I got into it, boom, really good. But I had to watch it that second time to enjoy it, and then season 2, loved every moment of it.
Yeah.
Well, let me just move out of this person's way. But anyway, okay, look, we'll stop recording now, and we will... Join us when we get back into the car. So let's have another sound effect.
Beep boop. That was the sound effect. Beep boop.
This train terminates at Hemel Hempstead. At least it isn't Luton.
Now, I absolutely promise that the sudden sound change to perfect microphone, or as near perfect as it is with our show, is nothing to do with us being 1 week away from when we actually recorded this.
No, we just got
and nothing
home.
To do that we've lost footage. We have just got here, honest. And you know that's all rubbish. So, yeah, we lost our car ride home, which I explained at the very intro to this show that you've already heard. And I've already apologised, saying that when we were on the train, it was our first out and about, and you can feel that the energy just isn't there with us. And that's what really upset me. And I'm explaining this to Rob because obviously he's not heard it at this point. And I said at the very beginning that we didn't have the energy. And when we got in the car, that energy came back. And it's just because we hadn't done it out and about before. And there were people watching us and the train was full.
I was too busy offering my sweets to strangers.
You were. You were giving sweeties to strangers and they accepted. And they, very naughty, should not accept strangers' sweets.
And
sweets from strangers.
She took the biggest sweet in the bag.
She did take the biggest sweet in the bag, which is just genius of her. But there you go. That's what happens. Now,
Lower Decks, we've had a fantastic evening. I'm trying to actually not be like that. Okay, we had a fantastic evening.
It was brilliant.
And we'll talk about more Lower Decks in the next episode, because hopefully we will have caught up with the episodes and nod, nod, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We did catch up on other episodes. We already have. You can tell I'm really struggling. We're not trying to pretend that we're in the past here. Anyway, right. Who is your favourite Lower Decks character from the main four people?
From the main four? Because this is what we're asking about in the car, weren't we? It's Tendi is my favourite.
Tendi is your favourite. Yeah. And I'm really struck. I want to say Boimler or Mariner, but actually I think it's Rutherford. And I just think he's got such a great, just this can-do personality, than this complete secondary character that we still don't really know much about, that's kind of hidden away because of programming and his implant.
Isn't it funny, we've both chosen characters
that aren't the main
they're
characters.
They're not the main two, but also they're like the most purest, happiest characters out of all of them.
But that's what I really love about them. And I mean, I love Tendi's just always, as you said, on the first journey. It's about the, even when something's really negative, she's really happy about it. Oh my God, you don't remember I'm your friend. I get to make friends with you again.
Exactly, yeah.
And then Rutherford gets passed up for a promotion in this first episode of Lower Decks Series 4. And he's happy. It's just really funny. So I know what you mean. Yeah, whereas the other two have their nagging doubts still. And they're really positive characters still. But there's always something else going on with them. And I think that's kind of why I like the sub-main character, as it were.
Mm.
But let's expand it out then. What about the main crew then? Ignoring those four, who is your favourite? And you're wrong if you're not saying Papa Bear.
Yeah, it's Shax. We both like Shax a lot.
His character just full stop. I mean, the bulging eyes on the funeral picture is just absolutely wonderful.
Just everyone's baby bear. When they're in the clique.
Yes, when they're in the clique, they finally become a bear and they can be called Baby Bear. Yeah. And then there's always the, I think, still one of the fun, and they chose to show it at the evening, which was good, when Boimler goes in and they're doing clay.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you not think I had enough time resisting? It was just, he is just an absolutely legendary character.
Yeah,
and I like Ransom. I like, who's the suck-up? Billips.
Yeah,
I love all of the characters, but Shax really sells, and the Doctor as well.
Yeah, she's
Tian,
good.
Is it?
Yeah, the bird.
Yes.
Is that who you mean? The bird?
No, the Cat Doctor.
I'm suddenly lost who the Cat Doctor is.
The main Doctor of the show. You've got the bird, who's the psychologist. Then you've got the Doctor, the Cat. You know, the one that they go off to get the box for.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, she's not in season.
Oh, she is.
She wasn't in season four that we've seen so far.
I'm just trying to think if she's in episode three, as I caught up to episode three.
I haven't seen three yet.
Okay, well, yeah, she is back, don't worry.
Right.
But she's a close
God, how
second.
How could I forget? Yeah,
she is a close second for me out of the characters for the favourite.
She's not mine, because obviously I forgot she was even in it.
And the relationship between her and Shax.
Yeah.
It's just wonderfully bizarre.
Oh no! Oh God! My God! She is in it. So I'm getting confused because I just literally talk about the next episode. Just seen some Star Trek. I'm thinking of the bird. I'm thinking of the psychiatrist bird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Of course, she's a cat, isn't she? Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, she's in it. She's in both of these. She's in every episode. She's hilarious. Stupid of me. She's absolutely hilarious. Yeah.
She's kind of. I tell you who she reminds me of. She reminds me of Tig's character in Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
It's that same sort of humour and brashness.
Yeah.
So, yeah, awesome.
I do like the ongoing joke of that. So he's one of the security guys, I think, and he talks in like weird euphemisms or something.
Yes, yeah, so that's, with his arms wide open.
Yeah.
as from one of the most famous Next Generation episodes, he basically, their entire species speaks in memories of previous stories they were told.
I have got to watch that. I do not remember that. I thought they made him up for this.
No. He exists. It's a great episode.
Because everyone, Boimler gets it wrong every time.
Yes, he gets
it. And he's the one who says he can speak the language.
and he always
like offends the dude. It's a stupid joke, which I love every time.
Yep, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think the final thing to talk about has got to be Riker's new word for engage on the Titan, or whatever ship he was on this time.
He's on the Titan every time.
It was the Titan.
And
warp
engage.
Factors in 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah. Everyone in the cinema laughed at that.
It's just so stupid but wonderful at the same time.
Good.
I really hope that makes a comeback.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, it's a bit weird. We will talk about more Lower Decks in the next episode, which is in 2 weeks' time. We can only apologise for the weirdness of this episode and it not being 2 hours long for once. Maybe we don't need to apologise. I mean, it's going to come in at about 1 hour, 10 minutes. I don't know what we did right.
Yeah.
But we hope you enjoyed it anyway, and we will catch up with you next episode. You can find us on Twitter. It's not called X, it's Twitter. It's Elon Musk's Dirty, Horrible, Cuntish Playground, and that is _Channel84 or @FlatRob. But you can find all our social media and all our email on channel84.co.uk. We're also now on Blue Sky Social, and I cannot tell you, I'm pretty sure we're just Channel84 on that. Come and find us, come and chat to us, drop messages into our DM. If you want to send us a Do You Remember or a subject to talk about, drop them into our direct messages on Twitter, email us on the webpage. There's also a contact form on there as well if you want to use that. And just get in contact and we will happily talk to you. And I think that's going to be it for this episode.
Past us loves you.
Yeah.
Current us loves you.
I mean, we talked about time travel last episode. Yeah. Well,
future us is going to love you too.
Oh.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Channel 84 Variety Show. This station is now shutting down and will be back in 2 weeks. Excelsior.